to be a part of this church. I'm getting to know you, and I'm really enjoying it, getting to know you. And if I haven't really had a chance to get to know you, some of you, make a point of pointing that out. And let's have coffee or talk after church or after the study, because I want to get to know you. And as I get to know you, I get a greater sense of how I can work and be of service here in this wonderful church environment. This morning's story is about generosity. And everyone understands generosity. You know, it's just giving without expectation of something coming back, right? It's what we do with the hats and the gloves. It's what we do with our food box. It's what we do with our center. We're working on being generous with our community. We're generous in our giving so our church can maintain its operation, pay its bills, and so forth. And you know that you're going to hear from the pastor at least once a year talk about money, finance, stewardship, and generosity. And we know that asking for money or talking about money itself can trigger all kinds of things. Ever have an argument with your spouse or partner over money? Anybody not in that club? It's interesting that money is the number one thing that gets couples into arguments. And it's right up there with the reason people end up getting divorced. It can make us feel uncomfortable, especially if it's heavy-handed kind of thinking about giving and generosity. We have to go back and look at our giving. Can I afford more this year? How are my finances? It's a practical matter of balancing your financial circumstances with your ability to be generous, typically. And sometimes we hesitate in our giving for good reasons. I mean, many of you live on fixed incomes. Some of us have families they're raising, and it's expensive raising children. Some of you have unexpected medical bills that are rising. Maybe you've had a car breakdown recently or need a major service. $1,000 is a lot of money when you figure everything out fairly carefully. Others carry educational loans and look at these giant sums of money and wonder how you're going to pay them off in a reasonable time before you retire, maybe. I'm about to pull out the credit card to pay for some plumbing for remodeling that I can't pay for out of my disposable income. So it's no surprise to me that we concern ourselves and worry about money. And it's no surprise that the average American family carries about $16,000 in debt in credit cards. That's a lot of money. People are not able to manage and balance their resources with their expenses. How can that person live generously, I would ask, to carry that kind of debt? And we live in a materialistic society that always encourages us to spend money using a credit card, which is really deceptive, isn't it? It's not credit. It's a debit. It's coming out of your account, not going into it. And the society kind of leads us to believe that money can solve problems. Ever buy a lottery ticket, wanting that fix the big problem you're facing? And money can make us afraid. We fear for our well-being at times. We think about giving and we look at it from the default position of how much can I afford to give, right? Human nature. Or how can I be generous and still keep afloat? And it's hard sometimes to get out past our anxiety about money in order to experience the generosity. We get stuck in the nuts and bolts of living and let the capitalistic orientation shape our understanding of generosity. So I'd like to make a suggestion about maybe shifting our thinking, maybe shaking up a little bit that kind of thinking, and enter into a different way of looking at generosity and viewing our giving itself. So let me start with the suggestion that go ahead and turn the next page. The next page, and leave it there for a minute. I have to remember that I have these slides. The first thing that I want to say is money is not what provides for your needs. Well, we know that, but let's remind ourselves. Money is not what provides for my needs. Money is not what takes care of your needs. And let me suggest along with that a scripture-based idea and truth. God takes care of your needs. Money is one of the ways that God does it. And the change in our thinking may be useful because it shifts us away from being in control of that circumstance and looking at it from a human point of view to looking at it from God's point of view. Maybe loosening your grip on your problems, shifting the attention to the real provider. Our eyes move from the check register and the balance from the red ink to our awareness of God. It may seem like a little thing, but I promise you that it will change your perception about generosity. It will relieve your anxiety about money and unlock the jail cell and set you free from your bondage to these financial concerns. We all need relief from financial concerns, don't we? Anybody in that club with me? I'm not talking about Dave Ramsey's course, which he offers for those who want to learn to manage their money, although it's a great program. I'm talking about seeing the world through God's abundance. Looking at the world and your life through God's abundant provision. To look at them the way God looks at them. And that God has designed our lives for abundance. God has designed your life for abundance. And when we recognize the truth in that, the anxiety about our financial circumstances goes down. We discover we're made for abundance and our anxiety slips away. I lived in Wiley, Colorado for 2 years, a while back, down in the southeastern corner, and every fall, about this time, they're filling the silos with grain. And one of the images that I remember is walking down the streets and looking at the silos, and then they have mountains of Milo. You know what Milo is? It looks like mountains of this Milo stacked there where they had no grain elevators or grain storage units to put the Milo in. This huge abundance of this grain. An image of abundance. An image of fullness. And in our awareness of that fullness being available to us, when we really grasp it, it relieves our anxiety about money. Today we're exploring a story about abundant generosity in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, which you're all familiar with. And go ahead and, okay. Yeah, let's hold it there. It's a message about you. It's a message about your words. It's a message about your provision. And it's a message about your individual role in providing an abundance. It's a story about something impossible becoming possible, isn't it? At the very beginning of this story, we see the disciples standing there, and these people are coming toward Jesus. Thousands of people are coming toward him. And they look at this situation with, I would imagine, panic, or what in the world are we doing? We were going to have some time away and rest and hear. The masses have come to hear Jesus. They're coming toward him. And the first thing we see in this situation is a recognition. They're in a remote location. It's isolated. The people are probably tired. They're probably hungry and need food. There's no food anywhere around. It's an impossible situation. This is an immense number of people. Go ahead and turn the page. Incidentally, this is the only story that is the only story besides the resurrection that is in all four of the Gospels, which indicates a high level of importance, doesn't it? The story of the feeding of the 5,000. In Matthew 15, Jesus' disciples were standing by watching all of this and wanted to send the people away because they didn't have any way to provide for them. In Mark, it says they threw the people, they knew the people needed to reach the surrounding villages soon to buy food, lodging, or they would likely go hungry. And in John, the scripture we're referring to today, Jesus asked Philip, where will we buy food to feed these people? And Philip's response is, hey, there's no way we can provide enough for this kind of numbers. It would take more than half a year's wages to cover the expense. That's a lot of money. It is an impossible situation in this story. And they bring a child who has two fish and five loaves, maybe even would look like this provision we see here. And it's obvious to us the logistics just don't match up. And in our lives, when we face the same kind of circumstances, we recognize the difference between the provision we have and the expense we're facing. The difficulty between getting the car repaired and managing the other expenses that we face. How am I going to find a way to cover these medical bills? It's an impossible situation in that case, too. For humans, it's impossible. But let's look more here. Why is it impossible? It's impossible because of the way we're looking at and thinking about our resources, isn't it? We're looking at those resources and the situation and focusing on the problem, the issue, and our lack of an ability to solve that problem. We focus often on the crisis, how impossible our situation is, and we get stressed out. We can't see what God sees in that situation. For us, it's an impossible situation, but for God, it's an opportunity to share his generosity. Isn't that powerful to think about? For God, this is an opportunity to share his abundance, to show people how God views our problems and challenges. Go ahead and turn your page. So let's look at what we've talked about so far. Step one, the disciples and Jesus notice that there's a crowd coming toward them. The people come for something. They come to be blessed by Jesus. His disciples freak out because they thought they would get some alone time and needed rest. And they simply don't know what to do in that circumstance. In our lives, in our problems, we can see those coming as well, because we know there may be no way to solve that problem. We are looking at our issues through our own limitations. Now we continue the story, and the very first thing Jesus does when he responds to this situation is what? He calms them down. He calms them down. I can see him raising his hand and saying, have them sit down. Calm down. Calm down. We don't have a crisis on our hands here. We have an opportunity. Suddenly, God is showing us how to walk through, lead through, make our way through this problem. And he sits them down, and they begin to recognize something is going to happen. Going to be all right. You're concerned about your credit card bills. Sit down. It's going to be all right. You're concerned about medical care costs. And God says, just calm down. It's going to be all right. You're concerned about that relative who's out of control and you don't know what to do. Calm down. It's going to be all right. Your medical condition is not clear, and you're waiting for some news from the doctor. Calm down. Calm down. It's going to be all right. He says that, and he says, I am here to lead the way. I am here to lead the way. He calms them down, and then he does something so very important for us to remember. In my reading of this scripture over and over again, I'm going, where is this, the core of this? And here it comes, right to the surface. And he says, it says in scripture, that he gave thanks. He lifted the bread and gave thanks. He shows gratitude to the Heavenly Father. He did the same with the fish. Then, suddenly, the food multiplies. It seems maybe to be a minor point, but it's so central to our living a life of abundance and generosity that we find a way to listen and calm down and give thanks. Give thanks. I read this again and said, that's it. That is the core of this message. I know the way now to face my financial circumstances, to understand generosity, give thanks. I was seeing only the problem. Maybe you are too. Only seeing the distance between your finances and what has to be covered. The circumstances you're facing with health. As we try to control and manage things on our own, God says, calm down. I'm in control. Sit down. Give thanks. He took the bread, gave thanks. When you're faced with the credit card issues, insurmountable issues, various ways, give thanks. When I look at the various costs incurred that were unexpected, calm down, give thanks. When I'm faced with the crowd coming forward, not knowing how I am or we are going to respond to them, we give thanks because Jesus is there to take over. I give thanks because Jesus is here. And I let him take over. Let him take over. Because I know I can't work things out on my own. And I find my way to prayer. I find my way to thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I have a lot to be thankful for. And I imagine if you're worried about something and you interfere with that worry with some gratitude, it might just disrupt that worry. How about disrupting the worry in your life with some gratitude? The things that God has blessed you with. Think about them. Go through them in your mind. List them in your mind. Keep multiplying those things, recognizing how God has led you. Thank you, God. And then, does my thanksgiving remove my debt? No, it didn't go away, but it changed the way I look at the situation, which is the beginning of the solution. I changed the way I look at my circumstance, and it changes everything about that situation. Doesn't remove the bills or the circumstance, but it frees me from my bondage to them. Next slide. The struggle ends when gratitude begins. That's a beautiful phrase, isn't it? The beginning of generosity is thankfulness. And Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And we can say with a liberating cry, thank you, God, for the bills and problems I have. Wait a minute. Yes, thank you for the problems I face, because as in the sermon, as in the moment when he blessed and multiplied the food, it is an opportunity for God to express his power and generosity in your life. That's powerful. It's an opportunity. I have a lot of opportunities for God. I'm sure you have a few of your own. How will he work this out? What is he going to do in my life here with this? What is going to happen? I calm down. I give thanks and turn it over. I've done my part. When the pressure of life is on me with what seems to be an impossible situation, I give God my provision, my loaves and fishes. I give thanks and watch his generosity reveal itself to the world. Because in truth, all our generosity comes from him, doesn't it? Generosity originates in what he did for us. The greatest, most generous act in all of history. He went to the grave and died and rose that we might know the abundance of life here and through eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Now we will sing our hymn. No, we have special music. Our choir will come up. First time of the year, we're excited. And we will sing, Lead Me, Lord.